You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go!
Wow. You gotta wear the purity ring. Anyway, hey, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone, Matthew J. Neely, Esquire.
Good morning.
They did not name the magazine after him, so, but they should have. He's class personified, this kid. That's what I say. Welcome back, sir.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Named after the god of thunder in Norse mythology. Oh, forget about it. Forget about Home of Champions. I don't bring up Norse mythology. Wild, wacky show as always today. Larson, Schweikert, Shelly Kice will be on in the third hour. Wild and wacky afternoon in Tucson. So it's very cute. I have a friends of the show who are brothers and brother sister, and they both sent me the same kind of update within about five. I didn't tell them this yet. They know if they're listening to it now. They both sent me like five minutes apart from each other, the wild and wacky day in Tucson. So let me introduce you to Rahina, the Tucson of Rahina Romero, Steve Kaplopchik, Jeff Dahl, the Avis Hunter, right? Lane Santa Cruz, a wonderful, wonderful young lady. The invisible, you know, the
doctor.
I think
is she not a doctor?
Like who? Joe Santa Biden? Cruz?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh please, I hope. I pray to Jesus she's a doctor. That would be amazing. So just like Dr. Jill Biden, Dr. Lane Santa Cruz, right? Who said, I remember when she was running for office, someone sent me her on a podcast. This is classic Lane Santa Cruz. Sending your kid to public school is an act of colonialism. Just want to tell you that. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure D.A. Morales will write Patty about it. Now, and then you got the invisible woman, Nikki Lee. That's what she is. She's her, like, Kevin Dahl is almost the invisible man because there's nothing much there coming out of him that's worth a while. And then Nikki Lee, who's
Kevin or Jeff? I'm confused.
Oh, that's right. Jeff Dahl. Sorry. I forgot on his that thing I heard on the radio. I heard a commercial or something with his name on it that had Jeff on it. I think it was on The Truth. I think it was after James T's show that I heard that. So people are like, what year is this? I asked that myself. So anyway, I got my warnings about what was going on with Tucson yesterday afternoon. And you're like, well, there was a little monsoon action going, and monsoon hit Catalina really bad. Bev was emailed me that I had some friends that were eating at It's Greek to me last night, and the power went out. And then Bev emailed me overnight to say that 10 poles went down because of a microburst in Catalina. So we got that going for us. So anyway, let's start off. Let's get with the light stuff first. Okay, this is what was going on in Tucson yesterday afternoon. Okay, this is just the aperitif to the main dish of misery. So now, as a friend of mine lovingly calls it, B-dubs. Okay, the Buffalo Wild Wings on Irvington. Now, I assume this is the one clearly closer to the Spectrum.
Near I-19, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had, in the parking lot, maybe this was a fight between bone-in and boneless wings.
Could have been, right?
There's no such thing as a boneless wing.
Or the flats versus the drumettes.
Right.
Could have been. I mean, because them's fighting words.
You are correct. But we had...
mild versus honey mustard or whatever.
Or they were trying to recreate the knife fight in the Beat It video.
Could have been.
Right?
It could have been art. Yeah.
If it was the Eat It video, they'd be holding a chicken together. Now, a couple of people armed with knives were fighting each other in the Buffalo Wild Wings parking lot.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So that's the first one. Okay. Now... the second one. Now this is on Belvedere, north of Speedway. Now, Belvedere feels very centralist, right? That's like Swanish, right in that area? Speedway, Swan.
I'm trying to, isn't it?
Or maybe closer. Actually, I think Belvedere is closer to
Wilmot, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's right. Right? So we got that going.
For some reason, I think it's by Trader Joe's. It sounds.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
All right. So over on Belvedere, we had four males armed with baseball bats assaulting another male in the wash. Okay. So we had that going for us. Right. Then I already told you KGUN9 already said the night before about Travis Peters Delta. They finally covered the story about a guy trying to light his place on fire. $3,000 worth of damages. Okay? So we got that going for us. But then we have this other story where a guy flees a traffic stop over near Congress and I-10. This started at 1:30. The man fired shots at the officer, then drove off. Suspect drove a gray truck. He crashed into a vehicle on a side street. Sounds this is right by the Mercado on Avenida del Convento. Again, it sounds like a bad Western. You know, the Hopalong Cassidy at the shootout at Del Mercado. Okay. According to TPD Sergeant Richard Gradias. Now, the part that's interesting about this is Pima Community College police did the stop.
Made the traffic stop. Correct. Okay. The news story said.
Now. Then it says, Gradia says, TPD was contacted. We responded, set up a small unit tactics with basically we blocked off the area. Units from our tac squad, which is comprised of SWAT, arrived on the scene. During the search of the area, they located the adult male suspect with obvious, basically it sounds like this man shot himself at that
right.
point.
Self-inflicted was what the article
okay.
said.
Now, again, you got the raw story. This is Craig Smith on KGUN. You got the raw story of what's going on. So here's the question for you. This is just, I know very few people know this word. I want to do the lasers, right? Kind of like Dr. Evil. Follow up, right? The follow up question here is, I'm not saying that. Now, of course, Pima Community College is their police can do that kind of thing, right? It's not like they're in the Vatican and they can only stay on the grounds of a PCC thing. And I'm glad they're out there. Okay, the question is, why did Pima Community College police do a stop on I-10 and Congress? So that's the question.
What was the reason for the traffic stop
right?
in the first place?
So now, don't get me wrong. If he was over on Greasewood area, right, and he was, you know, like the guy sitting there, and this guy zips by at 110 miles an hour, and then by the time he slowed him down, it was there. I got it. Something like that. But if you're telling, what I want to know, did PCC get a call about this? Sorry, did TPD get a call, right? Did it go into the 911 operator? Here's this is where follow-ups count, kids, right? Did come back to me now.
Did a 911 call go into
TPD? To the cop and TPD couldn't cover it. That's the question.
Good question.
Right? That's the question. So Craig, when you got Gradia sitting there in his shirt and tie giving you answers, and Craig's been around for 90 years, so maybe he did ask it and maybe it'll come on a future story. I pray. Okay. Did the call go into 911, and when the 911 was looking for a TPD officer, there weren't enough to send? That's what we need to know. That's way important. So then while all this is going on, right, in the city that never sleeps, right, we got, think about this. All in an afternoon, I got guys beating up four guys with bats beating up a dude in a wash. I got guys having knife fights in the parking lot of the Buffalo Wild Wings at Tucson Spectrum, which, of course, is a place where the city collects sales tax to pay for bills.
That.
Right? Then I have a guy doing a shootout with cops at the Mercado. Right? That's in Menlo Park, I believe, area. And then this comes out of the mayor.
Hello, colleagues and friends. I'm Tucson Mayor Regina Romero, joining you virtually from the ancestral lands of the Tohono O'odham and Pascua-Yaqui peoples. I am so sorry I couldn't be with you in person in D.C., but I am glad to share some of the work we are doing here in Tucson. As one of the fastest warming cities in the nation, Tucson is taking a nature-based approach to address extreme heat. Through the Tucson Million Trees program, we are planting 1 million trees by 2030, investing in heat vulnerable and low-income neighborhoods. These million trees are part of the 1T.org U.S. pledge. Tucsonans are holding hands with cities, organizations, and businesses across the country to advance the equitable distribution
of trees. Look at those eyeballs moving while she's trying to read it.
Tucson has planted or distributed over 45,000 trees in the past 2 years, and we are using the American Forest Tree Equity Score Map to track our efforts.
Tree equity!
The private sector is a critical partner in this effort, helping me fundraise over $500,000 to significantly increase tree plantings this year. The partnerships and best practices through the 1T.org's U.S. Stakeholder Council are helping us make important progress.
I'm sorry you have to puke your cream of wheat up on your table.
I am proud to include Tucson as part of this national effort to conserve, restore, and grow trees and forests, and I encourage other
cities
to join
the movement. We're growing trees and forests! She just said forests!
Hello, colleagues.
Oh,
and
please
friends.
Stop.
I'm Tucson Mayor Rahim.
Oh, my God. That's like torture. Whew.
You're doing it again.
You know that the water torture one where they drip that thing on your head, the little water? Right? You know, the city already has a torture device, which is making people read the Steve K newsletters. And now you got this lady on a loop. All right, let's go to break. 6:18 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. And I kind of wonder what I want to say to you, too, when we come back, is there's something different going on in the world of Tucson, right? And you're dealing with two guys here who have been looking at the news distribution for years. And this is Matt and I will come back and tell you why this is different, what we're seeing in the last 2 to 3 years, because this blank just got real and realer. Wake up.
Continuing with S Day, begin the begin. Artie Shaw. Steppenwolf by request.
6:24 in the morning. I think it was listener Gus. Snowblind Friend by Steppenwolf. I love it. That's some deep tracks right there. Before we get to our phone call, so Matt and I have been looking at the news stuff in this town for years, right? And this is what's different, right? The amount of, not just the amount of murder that's going on in this town, but just these open acts of violence. And it's a plethora of it, right?
Like at a casino or Goodfellas, you know, almost, you know, just this just harsh reality of life out there and just these assaults. It's awful.
We've seen all the crime statistics and they're off the wall, right? But in the end, what's happening is these incidences, they've happened forever. Don't get me wrong. The frequency of these incidences is epidemic. That's the problem. That's where we're at right now. When fentanyl is $1 a pill, right? And you have pretty much no cops. We've defunded the cops over a 15-year period. This is where you're at, right? This is where the misery goes.
And you're driving around, you're seeing people whacked out of their brains, sitting on park benches, bus benches, just completely in a daze.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. That's the sad reality of Tucson. So let's go to Billy number one. Bill, what's shaking, bud? Hey, Matt, you still got
recording
Steppenwolf playing.
That you had before the break from our inestimable Requena. She mentioned the term tree equity. Now
I put it together. We call it trequity. That's the cool way of saying it.
Okay. I didn't know this before, and I should chastise myself for not knowing this before, but there is a website called treeequityscore.org, and you can actually go to the website and identify what the equity score is of your local community. They have the city of Tucson mapped out, and you can zoom in and you can see what the tree equity score is in your neighborhood. Now, what's fascinating
is there a murder equity score .com?
I didn't check that, okay. But I bet there is.
I just want to make sure.
What's fascinating about this is places like, the mountains surrounding Tucson, they don't have a tree equity score. I would be fascinated to see if the areas where the aspen tree fire was from 20 years ago has a score versus the areas that weren't burned. But setting that aside, it's fascinating that they have things on here like the Tucson Airport. It has a tree equity score of 68. Yeah. Now, I don't know about
runway.
I don't want a lot of trees at an airport. Do you?
Generally counterproductive.
It's so funny, Bill. I'm looking at it right now. Even when you look at the map of Tucson, when you come a little, you don't totally zoom in. It's amazingly green. Like it's like we're it's roughly we're a 79 to an 82 supposedly already.
The lowest I can find so far is an area just south of the freeway. And downtown, it's got a 47. Now, I haven't gone in depth on what the scores actually mean, but I've got a little bit of knowledge about trees.
That's
in
true.
Southern Arizona, actually, in the state of Arizona. For 3.5 decades, I have maintained, installed, et cetera, landscapes all over the state of Arizona.
We got about a minute, just to tell you.
Here's the thing. If you're worried about tree equity, and you're in, say, areas of Tucson that have a lower socioeconomic outcome, you're not worried if you've got trees around your house, if you're just trying to put food on the table. If you're trying to make sure that your car is in decent enough condition that it can drive down the roads of Tucson without suffering major four- or five-figure repair bills,
so Bill,
because of the
downtown Tucson. Downtown Tucson has a tree equity score of 75.
Again, they're trying to measure something that is a byproduct of the poor, crappy condition of the socioeconomic activity of the people of Tucson. It is not the cause.
Billy, thanks for the call, man. Have a good day. Larson's coming up next. Dr. Neil said something about that made him sort of, what did he say? He's right. He's coming on Monday for our summer forest fire thing. He says that was torture listening to Rahina talk about that. And I said, you're just jealous of her tree knowledge is what I told him. And he says, tree equity, Lord have mercy. Amen. Amen, Brother Neil. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 voice.
Little George Strait by request.
Little George on an S kind of day. We're going S all the way through tomorrow. So it's a Pizza Summit day tomorrow. Rocco McCluskey, Matt Russell, Susan from the Gluten-Free Girls is going to ply us with the gluten-free pizza. The crew from Trident Pizza will be here. We're going to be talking all things pizza during second hour tomorrow. This is going to be, people are asking for invites. It's a closed event. I'm sorry. Closed. So I'm also asking too, I put it on Facebook, if you're a restaurant owner or a business owner in general, I would love to know, and you can hit me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com or hit me through maybe Facebook Messenger if you're over there, is what is the trend of your revenue right now? With what's going on in, I've had a few restaurant owners reach out to me already that as inflation bumps up, the price of gas is at $5 a gallon, they're starting to see the hurt. And it just had to happen. But so please reach out to me. It's all confidential. I'm not going to name you or your restaurant. I'm just trying to get a trend of what's going on here. So let me know. Let's go right to the phones. America's best unpaid sports intern, Ryan Larson. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. I've been meaning to ask you.
No.
You've been talking about inflation. When are you going to bump up my salary to match inflation?
Well, you know, that's a great... now, you see, you're trying to trick me to say there's some sort of compensation, so when we go in front of some legal court or something like that. So I'm not going to play that game. But good try. Not a bad try.
Well, an 8% increase of zero is still zero, so I guess you're fine.
So that's true. Tell me about... so I see... is the NBA season over?
The NBA season is over. The draft is tonight.
Oh, wow. Cool. Who's going to draft Dikembe Mutombo? Oh, no, that's the wrong year. Sorry.
The Hall of Fame, probably.
tell me about Wildcats in the draft. Let's do that. This is a U of A kind of town.
Yeah, so there's going to be three Wildcats drafted. We've talked about them before. And the biggest name is obviously Benedict Mathurin. Mathurin he's been rising on draft boards during the draft process. Originally, it looked like he was probably going to go in the teens of the draft, maybe between like 12 and 19, somewhere in there. But as of late, he's being projected to go as high as number 4 in the draft and probably as low as number 8 or number 9. And for him, the best case scenario is you don't want to go number 4 because that's the Sacramento Kings. The Kings are an abysmal franchise. Worst case scenario for Mathurin is he goes at 4 because that's just where your career goes to die. I think the best possible scenario for him is he goes at 5 or 6. If he goes at 5 to the Pistons, he'll get to play with the number 1 overall pick last year, Cade Cunningham, and it'll give him space to grow and to thrive because the expectations for the Pistons is they're not going to be able to compete next year. He'll get lots of touches. And for Mathurin, he's got a lot of really good raw skills. He's a good shooter. He's able to play off the ball. And defensively, he's not great, but he puts in the effort, which is the most important thing. He has the tools necessary to become a great defender. So I think he's probably going to end up going 6th to the Pacers, I think is most likely. And then for the other two Wildcats, Dalen Terry has also been shooting up draft boards. He seems like he was going to go late to or mid-second round. And now he's being projected as high as number 21, number 22, which would seem going somewhere around like the Nuggets or the Grizzlies. And for Christian Coloco, he's probably, best case scenario, he's probably going like pick 29 or 30 at the end of the first round. But more likely, he goes at the beginning of the second round. And the teams that could potentially be good fits for him would be, he's better off going to a contender. So a team like the Raptors, who have a pick early in the second round, or potentially he could end up on a team like the Timberwolves or the Pelicans. Those would be good fits for him, but that's what we're looking at for the three Wildcats right now. They're all going to get drafted. The question is just where and do they match expectations, because they're all projected to go higher than we initially thought coming into the season.
I see that DeAndre Ayton, former Cats, at the end of his deal with the Suns. Is that where we're at with him?
Yeah, so the Suns declined to give him a max extension offer before the season. He played out the end of his deal, and now he is what's called a restricted free agent, which means he isn't just free to go to any team that he wants. He's free to accept an offer from any team that gives him a max offer, which is inevitably going to happen. But the Suns have the ability to match that offer. Now, when Ayton does end up getting a max offer from another team, and the Detroit Pistons have been speculated to be a team that wants to give him that max offer, the Suns probably are not going to be willing to match that max offer. Part of that is because maybe they realistically don't see Ayton as a max player, and part of that is because Robert Sarver is cheap and a terrible owner, and he doesn't like paying players. And so the Suns are most likely going to end up doing a sign-and-trade with Ayton, when another team gives him a max offer, they will sign him to that max offer so he gets the most amount of money, and then they'll trade him to that team so that they can get assets back. For the Suns, I would have re-signed Ayton last year. I don't understand why they are just willing to lose Ayton, who is a legitimately good player.
Yeah, I was going to he's been in the pros for how many years? Three?
Three, yeah.
Well, how did his stats trend over the 3 years, Ryan?
He's significantly improved over the last few years. He struggled a little bit his rookie year and his second year, but since then, in 2020, 2021, he became a legitimately great player. The Suns made a finals with him. He was great in that finals, held up decently well against Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then this last year, the Suns were the best team in the NBA. They had the best record. Ayton's stats improved again. Ever since he's gotten Chris Paul on that team, Chris Paul obviously makes everyone better, but we've seen Ayton thrive when he has a legitimately good point guard to feed him the ball. And yeah, he's not an awesome shooter. He's more of a traditional big. He doesn't kick out for threes, but he's a good defender. He plays well within the team. And now the Suns are just like, whatever, we're not going to pay him. It's just, it's the nature of the NBA where if you have a guy who's really good, even if he's not one of the 10 best players in the league, you still give him a max deal because that's how business in the NBA works. The Suns aren't willing to do it. And I don't know what they're going to get in a sign and trade. It depends on who actually ends up offering Ayton a max deal, but they're probably not going to get back as good of assets as what Ayton is, knowing that he is a legitimately good player already. And so it's going to hurt the Suns, but, you know, this is just the nature of, if you're a Suns fan, of rooting for them when Robert Sarver is the owner. He makes bad business decisions. We all know it, and it's happening again.
I'm looking at his career stats right now. He played 4 years for the Suns, okay?
Right, yeah.
And so he's a 16.3 points a game, 10.5 boards a game over 4 years. That's pretty damn good. So,
yeah, he's better than a guy like Rudy Gobert for the Jazz, and Rudy Gobert is making $35 to $40 million a year. The Suns can afford to give Ayton a max extension, and they should. He, in terms of value as a center, he should be getting paid a max, but the Suns probably aren't going to do it.
I assume training camp starts in 30 days for NFL.
Yep, we are almost there.
Tell me about the Suns right now. What's the Kyler Murray situation? Yeah, Cardinals. Sorry, what's going on with the Cardinals situation right now going into camp?
So for the Cardinals, we don't really have anything new.
Are they a mess right now? Do they feel like a mild mess right now, the Cardinals?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Okay.
I mean, they're an Arizona professional team. They are basically a mess.
So. Prerequisite? Is that what...
It seems to be the case.
Well, what about the Diamondbacks, Chris? Oh, sorry.
The Diamondbacks are probably the most respectable professional franchise in Arizona, and they're like 9 games under 500 right now and haven't been to the playoffs in a decade. And so the Cardinals for Kyler Murray, we haven't seen anything new with the contract extension. There's hope among the team, there's hope among Cliff Kingsbury that they'll get an extension done before training camp actually begins, but it's starting to look less and less likely. I think inevitably, though, there is going to be an extension that gets signed by Murray. It would be, I mean, we just talked about how the Suns don't want to pay one of their best players. It would be even more disastrous if the Cardinals do not pay Kyler Murray. Like, I know there's been drama with Murray. I know there's a whole deleting all the posts related to the Cardinals off of his social media. I know that Kyler Murray has struggled with some injuries in the past, and he's worn down as seasons have gone on, and the Suns have fallen off 2 years, or the Cardinals have fallen off 2 years in a row. But Kyler Murray is a great quarterback. He is a top 12 quarterback in this league. When you have a good quarterback, you don't just get rid of him. Unless you're a very foolish team. Thank you, Seahawks, for Russell Wilson going to Denver. But it's a dumb idea to not pay your quarterbacks if he is good. And Kyler Murray has shown that he's capable of getting the Cardinals to the playoffs. He has shown that he is capable of making them contenders. And if he can stay healthy, which we haven't seen through an entire season, the Cardinals could be a really good team. And so if you don't pay Kyler Murray, the Cardinals are just going to fall back into purgatory. Everything else around Murray is already kind of falling apart. This entire offseason, I've just hated for the Cardinals, doing things like just re-signing Zach Ertz while losing good defensive players and doing nothing to replace them. So, I mean, if you're not going to keep Kyler Murray, like, if you're not going to do anything else well, you better keep Kyler Murray happy. And the Cardinals need to get the deal done at some point.
Tell me about... Rob Gronkowski, former Wildcat. He says, quote, he retired, but did he really retire? I feel like he's possibly sniffing for a better deal someplace. Where are we at?
So I think he's mostly retired is the way I would put it, is that he's not going to come back for any team except the Buccaneers, because his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, after Gronk announced that he was retiring the other day, his agent was like, well, Gronk's retired, yeah, but I could see him answering a call from Tom Brady to come back and play again later on in the season. And so there's the potential that could happen. I mean, that's already happened once. Gronk retired in New England, and then Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and called Gronk, and Gronk came back for a couple seasons to play with him again. And so realistically, as the season wears on, if there's like injuries for the Buccaneers or Gronk is just feeling better, we could see him come back late in the season to play for the Bucs and make one more postseason run. But for now, he is legitimately retired. I don't think there's a chance in the world he plays for any other team than the Buccaneers. I think he likes playing with Tom Brady, and that's the only reason he'll come back. And if he is retired, Gronk is going to go down, if not the best tight end in NFL history, as one of the three best. Because you look at his stats, not only was he an unguardable monster at tight end, where he racked up 9,200 yards, had 92 TDs, but he was also a legitimately great blocker. Like, he wasn't just a glorified wide receiver playing tight end, which is kind of what the NFL is trending towards now. He legitimately played the tight end position better than pretty much anybody, with his ability to block and be a huge asset in the run game while just being the most impossible, and if you hated the Patriots, the most frustrating player to watch, because he was just so good in every aspect of the game. And so if it is the end for Gronk, in Arizona, great. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. And if it's not, I look forward to seeing him in November when he comes back to the Buccaneers.
I saw that. I didn't realize this was happening. Ohio State wins trademark for the word the. Or the.
Oh, my God.
So they introduced them as the Ohio State. I guess they won the trademark for that.
Yeah, they won the trademark for it. Ohio State has long claimed that they're the Ohio State. You know, if there's nothing really more confusing than how people get trademarks for certain things. That part of the legal system is incredibly baffling, and I think it confuses even some lawyers. But it was a nearly three-year legal battle. And so for Ohio State, they're just going to have a bunch of products that they're going to brand with the, and that's it. And they're going to be able to trademark it. People aren't going to be able to sell other products that are Ohio State based that say the. Ohio State is going to continue to rack in the money. Maybe they'll get to use that money to buy some more players through NIL money, but it's dumb, and some trademarks are dumb. This is one of them. I don't know how Ohio State ended up winning this.
I forgot that they moved the Westminster Dog Show, that they canceled it in February and moved it to just the last couple of days. Trumpet the Bloodhound did win the whole thing. So my question for you is, should the dog show be covered under the sports section?
No. I love dogs. I love watching the dog show. I'll watch the dog show in parts, or at least the highlights. It's not a sport.
How about the Iditarod?
Dogs, come on.
The Iditarod's a sport, right?
Matt, are you watching the Iditarod? Are you paying attention to that?
No.
Which Husky team you got?
I took the points.
I mean, if you want to call it a sport, I won't be opposed, but I'm not going to watch it.
I took Rover in the points.
Now, first of all,
there you go.
You may not know this. Matt has a cat problem. Okay. So he's a cat guy. Okay. He doesn't like when we talk about dog shows, all that other stuff. So it happens. It's not a big deal. Well, Ryan, good talking to you as always, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris. Have a great week.
When are you going to be in the state? When are you going to be in our state?
We might come down in July to look at apartments, but more likely it's just going to be mid-August is when the move officially happens.
Well, if you come down, you got to come see your mom and dad or something. Come say hi, and
of course
say hi to your lowly radio station that you work with once in a while.
Chris, you know every time I come to Arizona, I'm sending you a message. Don't worry.
All right, my friend. Have a good rest of your weekend.
You too, my friend. Appreciate it.
Later, buddy. 6:50 in the morning. Chris D. Simone, Matthew E. S. Q. He had 200 on the nose on Trumpet the Bloodhound. And at 17-1, he won himself a few gallons tanks of gas. God bless him. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Peter Schilling carrying on the story of Major Tom. Wake up.
Souther Hillman Furry Band.
Hey now. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. So there was a story out of one of the Phoenix TV stations in a poll that this is Joe Biden and the Democrats controlling America, right? This is what they got all the keys, right? To the economy and regulations and what's going on, right? So we knew that the gas situation is ridiculous. They're screwing it up every which way but Sunday,
right? So now we have two things, just to give you a little, some scoreboard moments, as you like, as we like to say here on the show. First and foremost, according to a survey out there, this is from Phoenix 3TV, 10% of Americans are now saying they are skipping meals to cut grocery costs, and that an additional 9% of families are turning to food banks for help. In addition, 35% of the people surveyed said they have fallen 3 or more months behind on at least one bill, including credit cards, rent, and mortgages. So this is the Democrats controlling America. Is 10% of Americans are admitting that they are now skipping one meal a day. So, just tell them. And then you remember when we had this whole situation that's still going on about baby formula? And you know, here we are. We're a border town, like that sword, song just said, right? And remember people were going to Mexico? And the Biden administration was like, oh, no! Oh, it's not up to our standards. You got to check the formulation, or, you know.
Strangely, Keith Jackson-like.
I don't know why I went Keith. Rumbling, stumbling, and bubbling. It's the Michigan Wolverines at the Ohio State. See, it all comes together. So now, the Biden administration, it took them 6 months to get here. This is the best part, right? This has been going on for 6 months, right? Announced it's providing logistical support to import 16 million 6-ounce baby formula bottles from Mexico. When you do it, you better check that formulation. I'm just telling you, man. It's a joke and a half. It is a joke and a half.
Do you think
kids
on late night television or Saturday afternoon TV in Europe, they have Europe's equivalent of Sally Struthers doing, you know, just for just the cost of a demi-tasse of espresso, you can feed a baby in the United States.
In Paris. Can you give up the cost of a croissant to feed a baby in Laguna Beach, California? Love it. All right, here's holidays today. SAT Math Day, one of our favorites. It's this one goes out to Betsy, Pink Flamingo Day. She's got a pink flamingo problem, Betsy. So, Pink Flamingo Day, happy Pink Flamingo.
I did not know that.
I'm going to go get a gimlet at the Slippery Monkey after the show. It's National Detroit Style Pizza Day, and we'll talk about this at the Pizza Summit, where basically they were using the pans from the whatever they did with the car parts and blah, blah, blah. And they kind of made their own version of a Sicilian pizza. What they do is they do strips of a fresh sauce, like in three lines, instead of doing the spread out. It's very interesting. They put it on top. So we're going to talk about that. And because the pizza throwdown's going on Saturday with the Tucson Originals, and Matt Cable from Fresco, he has those pans. Somehow he got his hands on those kind of pans. He put it on the Wastebook yesterday.
Nice.
So Pizza Summit coming tomorrow. Schweikert coming up in several minutes. Wake up, Tucson.